You would turn now to Luke chapter 23. Reading verses 32 through 38. That can be found on page 884 of the Pew Bible. Page 884, Luke chapter 23, verses 32 through 38. This is the word of the Lord. Two others who were criminals were led away to be put to death with him. And when they came to the place that is called the Skull, there they crucified him and the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. And Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And they cast lots to divide his garments. And the people stood by, watching. But the rulers scoffed at him, saying, "He saved others, let him save himself, if he is the Christ of God, his chosen one." The soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine, and saying, "If you are the king of the Jews, save yourself." There was also an inscription over him: "This is the king of the Jews." This is the word of the Lord. He was numbered with the transgressors, yet he bore the sin of many. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 12. In Luke chapter 23, we see the fulfillment of Isaiah chapter 53. Here, Christ was numbered with the transgressors as Jesus was led away to death with criminals. And so we know that here he is not only being numbered with the transgressors, but he is also bearing the sin of many. And this is why in verse 34, he cries out, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." The blood of Christ pleads a better word than the blood of Abel. For the blood of Abel cried out for vengeance against the one who unjustly took his life. The blood of Christ pleads forgiveness for those who unjustly took his. And this is no empty plea. It is one full of strength. For here we do not find simply the kind compassion of a merciful man, but here we find the meritorious power of a gracious Savior. For his is the cry not only of a righteous man, It is the cry of God's beloved Son. And should we doubt this, we may look to the end of verse 34, where they cast lots to divide his garments. This too is the fulfillment of Scripture. It is the fulfillment of Psalm 22. Psalm 22, which begins, my God, why have you forsaken me? And then in verse 18, they divide my garments among them. And for my clothing, they cast lots. And in Luke chapter 23, verse 35, we read that the people stood by watching, and the rulers scoffed at him, just as in Psalm 22, verses 16 and 17, we read, they have pierced my hands and feet. They stare and gloat over me. Our passage leaves us in no doubt that Jesus is the fulfillment of Psalm 22, that Jesus is the fulfillment of Isaiah 53. And so we may interpret his death rightly. Truly, it was the death of a man condemned to die. But it was more than this. It was the death of the righteous for the unrighteous. It was the death of the sinless for sinners. It was the death of the wise for fools. The death of the holy for the unclean. The death of the blameless for transgressors. It was the death of the shepherd for sheep who love to wander. Here, he who knew no sin was made to be sin, that we might become the righteousness of God. We can hear then the power and the efficacy of his words. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Surely these words did not return to him void. For he spoke them while being forsaken by God, that we might be accepted by God. He spoke them while being crushed by God, that we might be saved by God. Do you worry that though you come to him, he will turn you away? That though you confess him, he will deny you? Hear what he said for those who did not come to him, but raised their hands against him. Hear what he said for those who did not confess him, but denied him. He cried for them to be forgiven. Will he do less for you who humble yourselves before him? Hear how they doubted him. Hear how they scoffed at him. He saved others. Let him save himself, if he is the Christ of God, if he is his chosen one. They did not believe that he was the Christ, for they did not understand what it meant for him to be the Christ. For the Christ to die in weakness. For the Christ to die a cursed death. For the Christ to be forsaken by God. How could he be the chosen of God? They did not understand why it was necessary that he suffer. They did not understand why it was necessary that he die. But we may. For we are told in verse 33, and when they came to the place that is called the Skull, there they crucified him. Why does Luke name for us this place? Why should we need to know the name of the place where he was crucified? We might say it was for the sake of historical accuracy, or simply because it was true. But surely there is a theological reason here as well. Luke is demonstrating to us not only that Christ is the fulfillment of some of the scriptures, but that Christ is the fulfillment of all the scriptures. He is making sure that we do not miss that his suffering and death were according to all the scriptures. We see his being crucified with criminals as the fulfillment of Isaiah 53. We see his garments being divided by lot as the fulfillment of Psalm 22. We see his being given sour wine to drink as the fulfillment of Psalm 69. As he drinks from the cup of God's wrath, that we might drink from the cup of God's blessing. But these are not random scriptures pieced together as the gospel of Christ, for we do not find parts of Christ in parts of scripture. We find the whole Christ in all the scriptures. They are not merely a story told about him. They are the place where we meet him. They are the place where he meets us and shows himself to us. So then, why does Luke tell us that they came to the place that is called the Skull and crucified him there? You do not need me to tell you. By now you know it well. So well that you may even now find it boring. But let us for a moment marvel again together at the wonder of what we here read. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, in the first proclamation of the gospel, in the first announcement of grace to mankind, the Lord promises that the offspring of the woman shall bruise the head of the serpent, and that the serpent shall bruise his heel. The Lord will accomplish salvation for his people through the offspring of the woman. Victory will belong to the offspring of the woman, but that victory will come at a cost. His triumph will not come without suffering. And here now in Luke chapter 23, we discover that his victory comes through his suffering. For here he is crucified on the skull. It is through his death on the cross that he crushes the skull of the serpent. It is through his death on the cross that he crushes the serpent's head. Here then we see him as the second and last Adam, obedient unto death, laying down his life for the sake of the church, the bride whom the Lord gave to be with him. But they did not understand, and so they raised their hands against him, and so they mocked him, "If you are the king of the Jews, save yourself." They did not understand that he did not save himself because he was the king of the Jews. It was because he was the Christ that he did not save himself. It was because he was their king that he did not save himself. For he did not come to save himself. He came to save his own. Who is the King of the Jews? We need not wonder. Here we are told. Here we see him. Here we meet him. The Son of God dying on the cross. This is the King of the Jews. This is your King. This is your Lord, stricken for your transgressions, crushed for your iniquities. What does it mean to be a king? What does it mean to be great? What makes a ruler great? The ruler of a country, the ruler of a house. What makes him great? Here we see what it means to be great. For who is greater than the Lord? Yet here we see him as nothing. Here we see him as a worm and not a man. Here we see him marred beyond human resemblance. Here we see him despised and rejected. This is what it means to be great, and not only for him, but also for you. Do you believe this? Then why do you not make yourselves slaves of one another? Why are you so easily angered by one another? Why do you so quickly insist on your own way? Why do you so easily use your words to tear down and not to build up? Jesus did what you could not. He saved you from sin and death. He delivered you from hell and wrath. But he did this so that you could be like him. And if you are not greater than he is, you must become as he was. This is what it means to embrace his cross. He did not make himself nothing in this world so that you could be something in this world. He made himself nothing, you could let go of your self-importance and pride and become a servant to all. This is your king. Beaten, scourged, mocked, nailed to a tree. This is your king. Would you be great? And behold your king. And do not turn your face from him until you have become like him. This is the King of the Jews. Let us glory in his name. Amen. Let us pray.